Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday, the 10th of July. Let's do the betting action first. I know a lot of people fed up listening to my waffle. That's fair enough. We all have our own choices. A little bit more to come on that in a bit. Okay, I've got no win bet today. I think yesterday we had two trades at each way place. Win bet was nowhere. I genuinely have not got a win bet today. I have got a one horse trade, and that is it. And this is already being backed this morning in the 3.20 at Yarmouth, Australis, 3.9 back, 4.1 on the lay side. Andrea Azzini, Roger Varian. It's going to go well, this horse, today. So that is the trade, 3.9, 4.1, hopefully holds up around the 3-1, 4.0 mark. Australis in the 3.20 at Yarmouth for a 25-30% trade. Just a note, I'm going to get some order to this as we do the website, but if you want a calculator to see the price, if you've not listened before, if you register on FTS as a free subscriber, so you need to go to FTS, register, and even if you've purchased beginner, you won't be registered as a free subscriber. Just go on your profile, click the free subscriber bit. You then have access in the members area to a section where there's some results templates, and at the bottom of those results templates is a calculator Excel sheet which you can use for the horses. And also for the over 3.5 trades, which will start when the football begins. So that's in the members area, completely free. Just go in and get it and use it. If you want to do the horse trades, it will make your life a little bit easier. But the trade is Australis in the 3.20 at Yarmouth. We got a football match today, a bit of deja vu. I do apologise. This is the one I mentioned the other day, which is actually, it is actually playing today now. In Swedish Superettan, Varberg versus Degerfors. Over 2.5 goals. It's 1.75 to 1.8. Anything over 1.7 here on my numbers is value. So I'm going to wait till it gets to 2.0, and then I will drip back over 2.5 goals and trade as the goals go in. Priority being removing liability first, to get a free shot at it as early as possible. People ask how I trade these. Invariably, let's say a goal goes in, 20 minutes, I'll remove my liability, and then if another goal goes in before half time, I'll just let it go. I've got a free shot in the second half then for all the goals. If a goal goes in later in the first half, and obviously we've got a bit of time decay, then I'll see what my position is. But I try and give myself as good a shot at a full win once I've removed my liability as possible. I don't jump on green straight away in the first half if two goals go in. So that's just really how I do it. Each one's different depending on what price you enter, and certain nuances to, you know, when the goals go in and what the price resets at, which can vary from league to league and team to team and match to match. So, but that's my sort of general rule of thumb, is if I get one sort of fairly early-ish in the first half, then I'll give it a go. If I get one late first half, then I'll normally give it 5-10 minutes in the second half and see where my position is. Other people I know green up straight away and then use that green later on if there's no goal. So there's many ways, and over the sort of season I'll make some videos showing different methods that we can put up when I've got a bit of time and we've got plenty of football. My focus is really through September, October. I want to be making a load of videos for the website, and getting those on for Ultimate members, Trading Day members, and obviously people who are just curious. So that is the two bits of betting action. Australis in the 3.20 at Yarmouth for a trade, and Varberg versus Degerfors in the Superettan over 2.5, entering from 2.0. If a goal goes in before that, then I will just leave it. I get a load of emails like when I put no football up. You know, why haven't you got football? There's this game on. I remember a guy on Twitter also asked me. And I look at, I probably look at 1,000 matches a week minimum. Obviously, when you've got this time of season, there's not much on, but you do have China, Japan, Norway, Sweden, MLS, playing. You know, I know we've had breaks with the Gold Cup and things like that. But as an example, there's a game in China today, and that's probably one of the big differences between me and most punters. It's sort of the only real proper daytime action kicking off at 1 o'clock, and I've had a look at it, and there's no value in the goal markets on my numbers. This is on my numbers. Other people may come to different conclusions, and that's up to them. But on my numbers, there's no value at all in the goal markets. There's no value in the home win. I made them about 1.4, they're 1.27. Right, so then you say, well, why don't you lay them? Well, that's not my style of betting. For me, it's a zero-sum game, laying these short home favourites. Other people may make it pay, but for me, you know, winning one bet isn't what it's about. Over time, when I've done that, I've made it pretty much a zero-sum game. Win one, lose a couple, win one, lose a couple, just chug along. So I've got no interest in that. If I could have got value on the home win, I may have looked at backing it. And there's no value in laying the draw for me. So there's nothing in that game, I've looked at it, that I want to have a bet on. Where other people will, without a doubt, because that's the only game on, they'll make a bet fit it. Particularly, you know, if you're following Twitter tipsters and things who tip up everything from the Vietnam's Women's League to under-19s flipping youth football in Germany, they will. I generally look at the top two leagues in about 25 countries. Of course it would be lovely to have a bet, but I only have a bet when it's right, and there isn't a bet in that game for me, so I say no football. For the trading sheets, there's nothing that qualifies. We've got two games on those sheets today. But in looking at that Super Eton game, which I looked at, you know, because this, I can look at it 2 or 3 days in advance this time of year because there is so few games, I'd identified that my price for over 2.5 was out of kilter with that price of 2.5. It's not on FDD sheets or anything like that, so it's not something that would be part of any service there. So it's just an observation which I will then share on the podcast. And it's, you know, it's the same old thing. I'm not saying it'll win. I'm not saying there'll be 3 goals in that game. What I'm saying is, in that Super Eton game, on my numbers, there's value in backing over 2.5 goals. Now, you could back it from the outset if you wanted to and leave it. Over time, doing that with my 2.5s, you will make money. I prefer just to get a little bit of a better price. I'm not saying it's bigger value, unlike other people do, which is complete nonsense. I'm just saying I'll give it 10 minutes. If there's no goal, I can get in a little bit of a better price. I can drip lay my staking, because not every goal goes in on 10 minutes or 11 minutes. I catch plenty of goals 20, 25 minutes, and I'll manage my position from there. And that's my choice. I'm just sharing it with you. It's my choice. I do what I do. That's how I want to bet. And I do a lot of it. You guys are happy to follow or not. But, you know, it comes back to I don't just sit every morning. The idea, whilst I appreciate this, is called the bet slip, and we covered all that yesterday. The idea when I started this podcast was, just to throw a few daily bets out, a few daily trades, and to a talk. It wasn't meant to turn into the big rants that it's turned into. That's just evolved, as I would have probably, in an ideal world, thought, well, I'll do a separate one for rants, but it's a time thing. Rather than making multiple recordings, I know I'm going to sit down at some time each morning, do this, so I'll get out what I've got to say. And I did try and get the bets out at the start, but I know sometimes I don't. But again, it's not a professional production, it's just me sitting with my ramblings. And you've got the big thing I struggle with is you've got a choice whether to listen. Now, numbers have dropped off, because I know I'm not for everybody. I know I am Marmite. I know that people don't like a lot of swearing, and I don't set out in the morning and think, I know I'm going to have a right swear up. Stuff winds me up, and I get it out off my chest. And, you know, if you speak to Suggsy, I'm exactly like that in when we go to the football, whatever. But once I've said it, I've said it. I'm actually a really calm, I know this is difficult to believe, but quite a calm, sort of level-headed character. I do have strong opinions on things, but I'm willing to listen to others. And I know I'm not for everybody, but the big thing is I really don't give a shit what people think. I think we spend far too much time worrying what people think, and control what you can control, and the rest is just noise, isn't it? And And that's it, you know. I know I get people now trying to stoke me up. Sugsy did it last night with the trying to stoke me up to watch the Boris Johnson thing, and he succeeded. I'll get to that in a minute. But I don't care what people think of me. I don't care. I'm going to do this podcast generally. If I only had one person listening, if only my dog was tuning in. She's gone deaf now, but she was probably best for her. But it just amazes me, people's outlook on life. That's what staggers me, is people's outlook on life and what people spend their time and energy on, rather than looking at what they're doing and how could they make their life better. My first thing that I do is try and make my life and my family's life better by whatever means that takes to do that. And I don't care what you lot think. I mean, that might sound horrible, but I really don't. It really doesn't bother me. If you think I'm the biggest bellend in the world, it's not going to stop me sleeping at night. If my missus said it, that's a different story. She's known me for 27, 28 years. And if she said, "Ian, you're out of line now," or "you've done that," then I would listen. But half of you, I don't even know. There's people, of course, I've met through FTS that I really like. I won't go into names, but if they said it to me, maybe I would listen. But generally, I don't, because I don't know half of you, and you don't know me. We've got an interest in betting. That's really what it is. But it's just interesting from the emails I get. Where's this come from? I had somebody leave. I mean, I'm not going to go into the details of the portal, but I run what's called the portal. I don't know why it's called that, but it's just the name I thought of at the time. Well, I do some betting for people. And it's gone really well. Well, I think it's gone really well. I think majority of people are pleased with it. I had somebody leave yesterday because I swear on the podcast. So can they have their money out? They're not happy with the swearing. Well, it was a polite email. I wasn't having a go. Just a request. And I've sent their money back. And I thought, that's just bizarre. Because they have to press play to listen to the podcast. So if they don't press play, then they don't hear me swear. I can't see what the issue is. I don't like Nigel Farage, but if Nigel Farage was dropping 20 quid through my letterbox every day, I don't have to have any interaction with him. He's turning up round my house, popping 20 quid in, popping 20 quid in. I'm going to take the 20 quid, put it in my pocket and carry on. I'm not going to open the door and say, "Nigel, you are a bit of a bellend, son. Stop putting the 20 quids in." I might call him a bellend in the street, but I just wouldn't do it. I just find it, I don't know, staggering. I say you lot because you're the people I interact with. The FTS community, people who find me, are the ones I interact with. And I just find you, over every aspect of what I do, absolutely staggering. Be it chopping and changing systems, be it giving it up on betting, giving it sharing information, giving it the way you bet, giving it not keeping records, giving the way you think you can speak to me via email, some of you. I find it staggering. The difference, people may say, "Well, you swear at us." You don't have to listen. If you send me an email, I'm going to get it. It's personal to me. You have a choice to click play on this or click nothing and don't listen at all. And that's the bit I find bizarre. It's a choice. Anyway, so old Sugsy did poke me to watch the leadership debate last night. I didn't even know it was on, to be honest, but I watched it about 6 o'clock this morning on catch up. The first thing, I'm going to do this perfectly calmly. The first thing is it complete and utterly pointless. I mean, it's a complete and utter, it's not like when they had the TV. I'm not a fan of these TV debates anyway. You know, again, I've said before, we're 10 years behind America and what they do, we feel we've got to do. And it's in their culture, and even their ones are fairly nonsense. I actually watch quite a few of their presidential ones because that interests me. But if you take the first one ever that we had here, I think the following day, I think Nick Clegg did okay in it, and the following day Nick Clegg was like, "Lib Dems are going to win the election," and this, that and the other. It's all just so fickle. Inherently, they don't answer anything. You know, be that you look at the Brexit ones that were held when Gove was on and Cameron was on, they're asked a question, you know, they don't answer it, they just dodge around it and find a way to tell you what they want to tell you. So a complete waste of time, none of the presenters, and I thought that woman last night was awful. I thought she was absolutely awful, just incredible. And it's same old thing. I mean, now you're having one which we can't influence. There's nothing, 160,000 people who've pretty much all made their mind up, they're all sitting their way stuck in the mud. And Boris Johnson's going to be Prime Minister. All I'll say is, if you watched that last night, do you think and we've got to have one of them. Do you think out the two, he's the man to be Prime Minister? Absolutely not. You know, Andrew Marnell asked me, out the two, who would you have? And I said, I'll have Hunt. Main reason, Andrew, Boris Johnson is a liar. And in life, I would rather have a thief than a liar. You know a thief's going to steal. If you let a thief in your house, and there, you know that if you don't lock your valley or balls up, he's going to nick them. A liar, you haven't got a clue what's going on. And that is the problem. And the guy is an absolute compulsive liar. He's self-serving. He's in it for himself. I can't believe that people don't see it. He has no interest in the British public whatsoever. He's always been about himself. And he is going to be a disaster. And I will make a prediction. You can put it down. I said it on the 3rd of July. I said it on the 10th of July. We will not leave the EU on the 31st of October. And we will leave with a deal that is very, very similar to Theresa May's deal when we do leave. Both those things, I firmly believe. And we'll sort the mess out from there. And he is not the man to sort that mess out. But I am convinced that that is what will happen. And I'm, you know me with my predictions. Look at Tiger. But you can call me back on it in a few months' time. If we leave the EU on the 31st of October, I'll be amazed. And if we leave with anything other than a version of Theresa May's deal, maybe with a tiny tweak, then I will be absolutely staggered. And you just look and think, what have the last year been all about? But I firmly, firmly believe that, that is where it's going to happen. And then we've got that idiot in charge. And I'm not saying that he's not clever, because he is obviously quite clever, but just the way he conducts himself, and he's just a liar. The guy is an absolute liar, caught out many times, and that's what it is. So there, yes, it'll be interesting to see what happens from there. What else have I got? I think that's it. I don't think there's anything else that I had. There is a couple of other things. There we go. See, I should make notes. I keep telling you, Nitesh, I should make notes. Lingfield. I was going to do a race day again at Lingfield. We did one in, I don't know, 2015, 16, where we did a race day and then a racing seminar the following day. And then last year we just did a race day at Lingfield, literally hospitality in the box on the finish line on the Saturday, and then sort of up in your room, shower changed, and we all had a few beers, and then I bought dinner in the evening because I like the people there, and then get up breakfast Sunday and go home. I'm thinking of doing the same again. There's a lovely Marriott at Lingfield. It's a great setup. Maybe cheaper for us to book the rooms direct. I think they shafted me on the room price a bit last year. But initially, if people would be interested in a race day in Lingfield and attending, if they could email me, probably looking at something in the region of £200-300 all in with the accommodation. I'm not 100% sure, just getting an idea of numbers. And if people are interested, I'll make a query. And perhaps then, if anybody wants to, we could play golf on the Sunday, because there's a golf course right next to the raid track at Lingfield. I know old Wigan John would like a good old pasting, but just an idea at the minute. If that appeals to anybody, I don't look to make anything out of it. I just look to charge for whatever they charge us for the hospitality and the room and things. But once I've got a number, I can go to them, get a date, October, November. I think they've got a meeting on October the 31st, which would probably be the preference. But have a look at that. So if that interests anybody, let me know and I will make the inquiries and we can have a day at the races. Just let me know. So, yes, there is that I'm thinking of doing. I think that is it. Yeah, I think that is absolutely... I've got nothing else. So you've got your football and your horse racing. Leave any comments that you want. And we'll keep chugging away. I will be back with you early tomorrow morning.